It's good to be here tonight on Mother's Day and be speaking a Mother's Day message. I'm not a mom. I never claimed to be. I know I would do a pretty bad job at it. My wife would agree with that as well. But I've known some good moms. I had a great mom. My mom is very much so the opposite of me. She's very quiet. She's like Megan, basically. And my dad and I are of the same stripe, if any of you know my dad, and you can about imagine what that stripe is. Loud, outgoing, and always wrong. But anyway, I just kind of to start out tonight, and I have a lot of verses to share, but I don't want you to turn to all of them. When we get to certain places, I'll just read them if I need to, but that's fine, but we'll get to there. But anyway, I was thinking about it, and I shared this, I think, a few weeks ago when one of my stories. Sometimes I go on rabbit trails. I know you don't know that about me, but I go on rabbit trails here and there. And this is, by the way, this is the chapel pulpit that we used to teach chapel. So who knows what's going to happen. When I preach chapel, I use this pulpit, Mr. Pager. So there's going to be all kinds of stories. There's no telling what's going to happen here tonight, but we're ready. My mom always say, I'm the kind of guy that I like giving gifts to my mom or things like that, or anybody. My wife says that's kind of the way they think about love languages and all this stuff. And I don't know, I like giving gifts to people. And I was like, Mom, what can I get you for Christmas? Or what can I get you for Mother's Day? Or what can I get you for, you know, whatever thing? And she's like, as a boy, I just want you to obey and do right. I'm like, oh, God. She is asking something that is impossible. And I used to get so upset, saying, Mom, just tell me what you want so I can just go get it for you, right? You know, that's the easy way out. Now it's like when I call them, hey, Mom, what can I send you? Oh, just come visit. Oh, well, we're 800 miles away, and I would love to go visit my mom. And I told Megan that. She said, well, then go. I said, okay, well, maybe I'll go. But anyway, I got to thinking about that. And I said, well, you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. When my mom would simply say, I just want you to obey and be a good boy. Ugh. And she knew, she would never tell my brothers that for some reason. It was always me. But I got to thinking about that. There's a lot of even biblical truth to that. Because as we're going to see tonight, there are some things, you know, the Bible talks about honoring and things like that. Well, how do you honor your mother biblically? And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes tonight. I may have told you this story as well before, but back in when I was growing up as a kid, we lived in the city for a little bit, of the great, huge metropolis of Dunn. Brian has driven through there in exit 77 going to see Caroline many, many times. Just a thriving metropolis of, you know, 10,000 people. It's basically like Milton. And we lived in the city, and then when I was 5 years old, never forget it, my dad, being my dad, went and bought this 1930s farmhouse and moved us all out to the country, and that farmhouse needed a lot of work. Anyway, it's an ongoing story. But I remember he tore down all the old asbestos siding. I think it was asbestos. We didn't care back then, you know, we're just out there ripping it off. I probably got cancer, I don't know. It's completely in the asbestos pile. This is great. Anyway, he was re-siding the house, and he was putting some new Masonite siding up. And I'll never forget this. My dad was a painter, and they had a bunch of cut pieces all around. And I said, I'm going to make a sign for my mom. I'm going to find a Bible verse. I'm going to hand paint that Bible verse on this piece of Masonite siding. I don't know if my mom was watching tonight or not. So, Mom, if you get to the end of the story and start crying again, I don't know if I'll be able to handle myself. It was rough enough as an 8-year-old. So I took the board and I went into my dad, had all this paint laying around. I painted it this blue color. I was so proud of myself. Then I found some red paint. And I said, where can I fit a Bible verse? And I looked at this board and I said, this thing isn't very big. I need to find a pretty short Bible verse about a woman. I said, that's what I'll do. I'll find the word her or woman in the Bible. So I ran in and got my dad's concordance, and I'm looking around. And real quick, I don't know why this verse is forever ingrained in my Bible. I know exactly where it is. I don't know what was in my mind. Zephaniah. Good start. Minor prophets. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 1. I don't know what I was thinking. It had the pronoun her. That's what I did, and it was short. Woe to her, great start. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. I wrote it in red paint. And I went to the azalea bush. This is a true story. Literal 100% true story. And I cut some azaleas that were in bloom. And I took some nails and I was beating them in and I was bending the nails and I attached that azalea. I was so happy. And I ran and said, Mom, I made you a sign from the Bible. And my mom cried all afternoon. I hope Mom, we've never talked about this much, but I hope she understands. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm going to give something to my mom and it's going to be wonderful. And my mom cried. That's just my life. But then she would say things like, you don't need to give me anything, just be a good boy. Well, honoring your parents goes beyond just obeying commands. And I'm going to quickly tonight, in just the 20 minutes we have left, just share a few verses with you. I wrote down three things that I hope all of us have a mother or had a mother. Honestly, there's parents that have passed on. But do you know what? Even if they're passed on, you can still honor them. We're going to talk about this. Because honoring your parent goes beyond just obeying them while they're alive here on earth. Honoring them extends into you executing the things that they taught you from the Bible. And if we've had, now not everyone has had godly parents. Not everyone has had godly mothers and dads. But if you've had, you need to thank the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you for my mom and my dad that were godly, that pointed me to the scriptures, and I can continue to honor them until the day I die. And then hopefully I can pass some things down to my children to where maybe they'll honor us as parents until the day they die and so forth. And it's continuing to show God's truth. Well, I'm going to give just three little simple things about how we can honor our parents and especially consider our moms. And again, you don't have to turn there. We're going to start right with the first one is obedience. Obedience. That was the one my mom always said, right? Mom, what do you want for Christmas for you to obey? It just always churned my stomach because I just knew, Mom, you're asking the impossible. We need to sing that chorus again. Nothing is impossible. Well, that was impossible, Pastor. Mom's asking me to obey and be nice to my sisters and all those things that a boy would never consider doing. Be nice to your sisters. I tell the girls, I'm getting off sidetrack again. I tell the girls in school, I was like Maddie, she'll wear these braids. They call them pigtails. I'm a hair expert, as you can see. But they have these braids that they put on each side, and they've got them. And I said, man, y'all need to stop wearing those braids to school like that, because that makes me think I'm an 8 to 10-year-old boy again. I used to grab my sisters and go, giddy up, horsey, giddy up. And then I'd be in my mom's room staring at the comforter, grabbing a holt while the leather came out, or then when dad came home and really took care of it. But I said, y'all are tempting me to go back to my evil, mischievous ways as a boy. But anyway, side note. All right, Ephesians 6:1, we all know what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's that simple. It's mentioned again in Colossians chapter 3. We're not going to turn there. It's mentioned again in Colossians chapter 3, but it says, obey your parents because it is well-pleasing to the Lord. It is simply, as a young person especially, it's right and it pleases God when we obey our parents. Now, that word obey, I just want to, just a couple seconds, talk about it. Yes, of course, obey tasks, right? You know, you say, hey, the proverbial, take the trash out. I was going back into nightmares when Pastor was talking about the hands of a mother this morning. You know, all the things that a mom does. My mom has been married to my dad. She was talking to her today on the phone. This month, they're going to be 47 years. I said, Mom, we need to have a party to celebrate you. My mom for 47 years has never had a dishwasher ever. She's washed every single dish in our house by hand. Just old 30s farmhouse. There's nowhere to put one. That's the way it goes. But one of our jobs, Mom would say, all right, she had this checklist. I hated the summer. I almost wanted to go back to school. It was like that Andy Griffith with Otis where Aunt Bee was the warden. I'm telling you, it's like scrubbing floors and washing dishes and vacuuming. We all had our little jobs setting the table. I learned how to set a table. Fork goes on the left and the knife goes on the right. You better not mess that up. She had an etiquette book. You better get it right. Anyway, that comes out sometimes when I tell the kids and we're preparing for a banquet. Nothing wrong with that. Mom's taught me a lot of stuff. But my mom's washed all the dishes, and boy, it was my time to wash dishes. Oh, man. And the thing I hated about it were those little glasses that my mom used, and I got my hand down in there, and I couldn't get it out. You know, it just drove me nuts. So I'm glad to have dishwashers these days. I was like, oh, I got to wash the dough, or I got to take the trash out. Yes, there's obeying tasks. That's one side to look at it. But it goes beyond that to obeying teaching and actually having a life of, now don't get me wrong with this, this is totally foreign to our culture, a life of submission. The word in the, we're not going to get into detail, but the word in the Greek for obedience there and obeying your parents literally is the idea of allowing yourself to be captivated by and governed by something else. That means you have respect for your parents. That I am captivated by them. And I'm choosing to be governed by them, which means I'm going to submit to them. Submit to them. Now, I never understood it. My mom and dad always said the same thing that, you know, the things that we don't like to hear as kids. Son, I'm sorry to whip you, but this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. Yeah, right. Okay, sure, Dad, I believe you. No, I didn't believe him. You know, and then I say the same thing now. So, well, whenever I was disciplining my boys and, yeah, this hurts me, they were like, okay, yeah, I'm sure it hurt, Dad. Let me try it on you, right? No, they never did that. But anyway, you know, we talk about those things and the parents say those things or, you know, those little phrases that they say. And they say, well, you know, one thing I heard was if you obey me now, you'll learn to obey God later. I say, that doesn't make any sense to me. But it does now. When I look back, I'm 42 years old. When I look back, you know what? It was easy for me to obey God and go into the ministry. It was easy for me to just do what the Lord asked me to do. You know why? Because of my mom. That's the simplest explanation I can give. And it's a blessing to have a parent like that. So it teaches, obedience teaches submission. Now our world hates submission. They can't stand it. Now I'm not talking to be like, oh yeah, oh, whatever. No, we need to stand for what's right, stand what we believe on, voice. You know, if we have an opinion, it's fine, no problem. But it's submitting to the Lord. Realizing, Lord, this is what your word says. I'm just going to submit to it. You know, let's go to Romans chapter 1. I do want to look at this one verse. Romans chapter 1. This is also repeated in 2 Timothy chapter 3 with the perilous times that are coming. But it is right and well-pleasing to God for you to allow yourself to be governed by and captivated by someone else. Your parents, in this case. Obey them. Just like in the future, you will obey God. You will be captivated by Him. Doing His will won't even be a second thought. You'll naturally just do it. In the end days, or the days in which we're living, obviously, Paul talks about it, the perilous times. Here we're talking about how they're given over to a reprobate mind, end of chapter 1 of Romans. And notice what's in the list. I always find this interesting. It's also in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. What's next? Disobedient to parents. It is one, it's mentioned twice in the New Testament. It is one of the key indicators that we're in bad days because there's disobedience to parents. That word disobedient means I'm uncompliant or I am unpersuaded. I'm not convinced to be captivated or to submit. I'm not going to do that. I'm convinced to do what I want to do. To be uncompliant or to reject what God wants and to reject His will. And it says, this is as simple as I can put it. Disobedience to parents will lead to disobedience to God. That's as simple as I can put it. It's true. Unless God intervenes, gets a hold of the heart, and change. God does that many, many times. But a refusal to be submissive to authority will result in you not submitting to God. It's that simple. And so parents are teaching and training. And what is the first thing we can do to honor our parents, our moms, is to obey. To choose to come under. To not, I mean, I remember what it's like. I'll tell myself, I guess. This is bad. But, you know, I was just the perfect teenager. No laughing. Wow, you believe me. Good. I was just a wonderful teenager. I never got upset and angry. And, you know, when my dad would say something or he would have the way he wanted something done, and I was like, well, I don't think that makes sense. Does it matter if it makes sense? It didn't to me, but, you know, I knew everything because I was 15. Right. I got it all down, ready to go. Dad would, and he would say, no, we're not doing it this way. And then one time I remember I made the mistake of getting all angry and huffy. That's a word, huffy puffy or whatever. Went there and slammed my door. How do you think that worked out for me? It was great. Wonderful. Learn not to do that one. Let's not do that one. Not good. But, you know, what it was, I've got my way. And then, you know, you have to realize, and I remember many, many times, my dad's a very forgiving man. I can't count the number of times I went back to my dad and say, Dad, I was angry and I was wrong. And he said, son, it's all right. We're growing. We're learning. And we pray and we moved on. My dad was a very gracious father to me. And that's what life is. Let's obey. Even if we don't understand and we think our way's better, let's obey our parents, young people. And let's have that attitude of submission because it will allow us to submit to the Lord. Now look at number two. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. So first way to honor your parents is to obey them. The next way to honor them is what my mom said. I mean, maybe I should call this Lessons from My Mom. I don't know. Mrs. Smith will be asking me for a title this week, and I'm always terrible at giving them, so I will try to get it to her. But in Proverbs, you know, the second way that we can honor what my mom told me, at least, was simply to live right, like she told me. I just want you to obey and be a good boy. It's really biblical. It's biblical. And I'm going to show you why. Let's look in Proverbs, because when we choose to be the fool, Proverbs talks a lot about the fool. And the fool does something to mom. And I have literally witnessed this in my life with my own eyes. I've witnessed this over a pattern of years. And I'm sure Pastor agrees too with what I'm going to say. He's witnessed the effects of the foolish child on mom. Let's start with chapter, I'm getting my notes here. Proverbs, you know, we want to live out what the parents tell us to do. Live it out with wisdom. Most of what your parents tell you, especially if they know the Lord, guess what it is? It's wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? It's the application of knowledge. So ready, young people, this is hard to understand now. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Who has already applied knowledge? Your parents. You know, my mom used to say that too. I was a teenager once. Yeah, when mom, back in, you know, 400 BC or whatever, kids say, you know, and all that stuff. No, don't say that. But anyway, you think, yeah, right. Well, it's so much different now that I'm a teenager. You know, the teenager desires and heart is identical, and it always has been. Always has been. It's wicked. That's right. It knows what it wants to do, and it's going for it. So they've already been there, done that, right? They've been there, done that. They've learned, they've applied the wisdom, the knowledge. So it is, they have some wisdom. I know that's hard sometimes for us to believe as young people, but they've got wisdom. So we need to live right by following wisdom. So chapter 10, verse number 1. We're going to quickly look at 3 or 4 verses here. For sake of time, I'll try to go quickly. Chapter 10, verse 1, we know this. A wise son maketh a glad father. You know, I almost think of the word like if a dad tells a son, I'm proud of you. Not in a bad way. But to me, that's what that verse kind of symbolizes, isn't it? And maybe some of you that are older and have had your kids grow up and go on and do things, and you say, you know what, son, I'm proud of you, how your life's turned out, how you're serving the Lord, whatever. That's a glad father. Notice the next section. But a foolish son is the heaviness of the mother. The simple way to say that word heaviness is grief. Grief. My mind always goes back to when I was a kid, we used to watch these the old Dr. Bob Jones sermon videos. Y'all some remember those, I guess. I know Roger and them do. We have one of them, I think, at Calvary. There's some other ones. You Can't Win the Game of Sin. I just would love to find that thing. That was such a good video. There's probably in some old reel-to-reel in an attic somewhere. I wish we could get it. But anyway, at Calvary, you know, I remember clearly he's preaching, he's talking about a mom that was up till 2 or 3 in the morning praying for her son whilst he was out doing whatever he wanted, living wicked. And you know, it hones in on that little house. Maybe you remember it, and it shows the mom leaning by the bed praying because she was grieved. It was a heaviness. And many times, young people, we just go out and do what we want, live like we want. We don't think it affects anybody but me. The foolishness of a child will wear a mother down. That's chapter 10, verse 1. Go to chapter 15, verse number 20. You know, again, we need to follow the wisdom. But when we act foolish, we're going a certain direction. Chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father. There it is again. But a foolish man, in other words, he's not listening to the wisdom, despiseth his mother. Boy, that's a tough phrase right there. That's hard to imagine. I don't care what mom said. Mom's always trying to tell me to do right. I don't talk to her anymore. I'll tell you, I've seen it. I've seen young people, even in 20s and 30s, with their lives in shambles, down-talk their mom. Despise their mom. You know why? Because they're foolish. They're not listening to wisdom. You want to honor your mom? Live right. Go to chapter 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Bitterness. Just a mindset of overwhelming grief and being upset. You know, again, we don't realize what we're doing to the one that bore you. It's a grief, it's a bitterness to them. And then go last to chapter 19, right there to the next page maybe. Verse 26. He that wasteth his father, and get this now, chaseth away his mother. Now, isn't that sad? That is a sad statement right there. I'm going to chase away, I don't want to hear it anymore. Let me do my own thing. Leave me alone. That's harsh. I'm going to go out and live like I want. That's not living right. What does it do? It causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Now, I know it's not all about the perspective of how the kid makes the parent look, but you know what? There is something to that. Because you know what the Bible says? A good name is rather to be honored than great riches. And you know what parents do? They spend their whole life trying to follow that verse. You want to have a good reputation. I don't think there's a parent in here that doesn't want to have a good reputation. To be known as an honorable or integrity and a good person that loves the Lord. Everybody wants to be known as a good person that loves God. Any Christian should want that. But you know what? You go out and be foolish, young person, you're actually going to cause a shame and a reproach to your family. Say, well, that's just pride. You're worried about how you look. Well, it's more than that. You can look at it proudful. That's true. But you're looking at it as, Lord, we're bringing a reproach to a Christian family that's standing for the Lord. When we just say, just go do what I want. Who cares? Woo, let's go. We're bringing a reproach. I always think about Jacob with Shechem. Remember what his sons did? They went in there and the prince of Shechem went over there and got Dinah and all that stuff. And then they were like, oh, you want to marry your great, everybody's got to get circumcised. So they got him circumcised. And while they're laying there in pain and agony for 3 days, they went in there and slaughtered all of them. You know what Jacob said? You've caused my name to stink. There's something to it, young person. You better think about your family. You better think about your parents. You better think about their service for the Lord before you just go acting like it's no big deal. You know what I can do? As I continue to serve the Lord, I'm serving God. There's 100% no question. But you know what else it does? It honors what my parents have taught me. Now I can go out and do whatever I want. It's like, oh man, shoo. What kind of honor is that bringing to my mom and dad? Again, I'm honoring the Lord, obviously. That's we're just not talking about that tonight. We're talking about parents. But you know what? We ought to honor our parents by the way we live as well. It is a grief. I just think of the sleepless nights. We think, I just go do what I want to do. Who cares? Mom cares. And she's on her knees begging the Lord for mercy. There's something to that. Don't be so self-centered that it's all about me. It's a grief. It's a grief when our children play the fool. It's a grief. Now it happens. But you know the greatest thing is? They realize it, get right with God, and move on. That's wonderful. That's what God wants. Everybody's going to make... Our pastor talked about this morning. Kids aren't perfect and we aren't either. News alert. We aren't either. But are we learning and growing with the Lord? Or are we becoming more rebellious about stuff? Got to move on. Our time is almost gone. We can obey. We can live right. And then the last thing. You know what else you can do to honor your parents? Because that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 2, verse 1 is children obey. Verse 2 is honor your father and your mother. And that word means to, now listen, it means to recognize the value of something. And there's a lot of people in our generation today that don't, I mean, they just want to get rid of their parents. They can care less. Well, I'm glad they're gone. Let me get my inheritance. Sorry, by the way, Seth, Jared, Isaac, and Jesse. Good luck, guys. You'll have enough to put me in the cremator and call her good. But no inheritance there. Good luck with that, boys. Maybe you'll have a rich uncle or something. I don't know. But anyway, take care of your parents. You know, there's a lot to do with that word. Honor them. Don't ridicule and make fun of them. Now, I mean, my dad and I have this really, we have a great time together. When I go visit my dad, He's like, oh no, Aaron and Adam and Daniel are coming in. I'm going to start getting picked on. We start picking on my dad and laughing, and he starts laughing, and he laughs for 10, 15 minutes and can't stop. And it's just fun, memorable times. We enjoy picking on each other and things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like demeaning and mocking. You know, Bible takes mockery of authority seriously. Last week we had our spirit week at school, and Tuesday was historical figure day. I don't know, it was either Tuesday or Thursday. I can't remember. And I told the kids I didn't dress up. I didn't have time to get anything ready. They had some really good costumes. Mrs. Brainerd was Amelia Earhart with the aviation cap and everything. And I told the kids, I said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be Elisha and bring a pack of she-bears to school. Go ahead and say, go up thou bald head. No. Anyway. You know, anyway. Well, God took that serious because their mockery wasn't just some fun joke. They were demeaning his position as an authority. But we've got to honor, and I'm just going to quickly say some things. Proverbs 30, verse 11 says, there is a generation that curses their fathers and doesn't bless their mothers. That's now. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9 says, if you curse your mother, you're going to be put to death. Do you think God cares about that? That's a pretty big deal. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. This is I've always enjoyed this passage. I was got a little scared this morning when Pastor said Mark 7. I was like, oh no. Then he said verse 24. I went, okay, whew, we're good. Verse 10, and Chris and I have a little joke about this too, the word Corbin. But chapter 7, verse 10. Moses said, honor your father and your mother. Whoso curses them, let him die the death. We'll put him to death. But look at this. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corbin. That is to say, a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. What's going on here? You've got this son that has, we'll put it in our vernacular, tons of money. He's loaded. No big deal. Parents are over here struggling. Can't even hardly make it through. Son, we could really use some help. Oh, Dad, I would love to help you, but I've got this money over here and I've saved it aside. It's Corbin. It is a designated gift to the Lord. Rotten scoundrel, doesn't give it to their parents or the Lord. In other words, what's Christ saying here? Take care of your parents. Take care of your parents. First, we're going to also, one just a couple more verses, we're almost done. 1 Timothy chapter 5, I want you to see these. And I got one more verse and I'm going to talk fast and get you out of here real quick. I apologize for being a little late. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now this is about the widows. Honor widows that are widows indeed, verse 3. Look at verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, actually the Greek more indicates children, grandchildren, family, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. What is Paul saying? If a widow has grandchildren and children and family, that family should take care of the widow. Why? They're requiting them. What do you think your mom and dad did for you? That's simple and practical. And it also says, by the way, additionally, it's good and acceptable to God. But I tell you, I get heartbroken when I see these families. And Pastor Rainer's talked about these, you know, he's been in the middle of witnessing people at a nursing home arguing and fighting over. Or I never forget the story about the dude, poor guy's in there dead, died in his home, old man. And he went to, you know, get the medical supplies that they were renting. And there's the man sitting over there dead in the chair. And the whole family's arguing and complaining about the inheritance. And the man just died. We are so self-centered in this day today. It is honorable to take care of your parents. You say, well, I think that's an opinion. Well, I'm going to show you one more that should make it pretty clear to you. Go to the Gospel of John. This has always been amazing to me. Go to the Gospel of John. At the very end of the Gospel in chapter 19. Yes, we obey our parents. Yes, we honor them by living right. And you know what? Even if they've already passed on and gone to glory, we can still honor them by still living right. And then thirdly, we better care and provide for them and help meet their needs. I'm mainly preaching to Jared and my boys tonight, by the way. I hope they're really listening. I joke around with them. I said, when I get old, the dementia stuff and Alzheimer's and things runs in my family. And I tell you, I told my boys, I'm going to be somewhere just crazy out of my mind, running around, hitting them. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just begging for mercy now, Jared. So just be kind to me, son. That's all I'm asking. There's no telling what's up here that's just going to break. I don't know. But anyway, you know, take care of them. Wayne's saying amen. All right, that means when you stay at Chris's house, you don't have to pay the electric bill, right? He's waited a long time for that one. No, I'm just kidding. But look, you know why it's a big deal? Because Jesus himself said it's a big deal. John chapter 19, look at verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, Mary, his earthly mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, the apostle John, he saith unto his mother, woman, this is when he's on the cross. You think he cared about this? This is a big deal. He said it on the cross. Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Jesus himself didn't die without making a plan for his own mom. That's a big deal. The Lord himself said, John, you're taking care of Mary. Mary, John's taking care of you. And he started it immediately. I tell you, I'm young. I mean, my parents are getting up in years, but I know some of you have had to care for your parents. I know it's difficult, but you know what it is? You pleased the Lord. You pleased the Lord. You were able to be a blessing. You were able to be used of God. It's a wonderful thing. Obey, live right, honor and care for them, and then when the Lord takes them on, continue to honor them by doing right some more. Yes, my mom's statement that I hated the most. I called my mom today and I didn't dare ask her, Mom, what do you want? Oh, just be good and come see me. Oh, you know, I need to try to send you a Chick-fil-A gift card or something, you know, or something like that. No, just, oh, yeah, she stabs me. But there's a lot to that, isn't there? I tell you, I appreciate my mom. I know all of you say the same thing. Appreciate your moms and the mothers that are here. And I encourage you young people. These are things that you don't need to take lightly. Obey, honor by living right, and then take care of them. I know, you know, when I go visit my dad, we always love to eat. I know you can't imagine that. But my dad and I love to get up and go to Triangle Waffle and eat breakfast, a little home, just hole-in-the-wall place back in Dunn. Love to go to breakfast there. And I always grab the ticket before he can pay for it. You know why? Because he grabbed it for 20 years. If I can pay for it, I'm going to. He got mad last time. I paid for it 3 days in a row. He said, now, son, he was getting all flustered like he gets. You know, now, son, I got my debit card right here, and I'm paying for breakfast today. I said, okay. I just looked at the waitress, and yeah. Oh, what happened? So what are you doing, son? Man, I tell you what. Yeah, he is. He gets all upset and stuff. I love doing that. We ought to enjoy that, shouldn't we? We ought to enjoy that. And take care. Anyway, I'm got sidetracked. I appreciate your patience tonight, but I thank the Lord for parents that love the Lord. Now it's our turn to live for the Lord. Demonstrate that. Father, just thank you so much for our mothers. There's many here in the audience that are moms, and Lord, they want to raise their children in the things of the Lord. Father, bless them in that. And I pray for our children. I pray for our teenagers, our young people that are at home. No matter what age they are, that Lord, they would from infancy, they would be learning how to honor, how to love, how to obey, how to care for those that are over them. Thank you for the examples of Scripture and for the things we're able to learn from it that are so practical for us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.